Welcome, friends, to the Enduring Gifts of Marvin Gaye podcast, brought to you by your 26-year listening veteran, Jessica. Join me as we celebrate these enduring gifts, the songs of Marvin Gaye. In each episode, I will share insights about the music and recount life experiences tied to it. I'm hoping to inspire you to take a first or your 500th first listen to these songs that are truly the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye.
I'm going to go to like how I first started doing this podcast. And I'm saying this out loud right now to remind myself of staying in this mind frame. And I was just doing a lot of online researching of things lately. And there was something that I came across recently, and I definitely don't have it pulled up. I don't remember the quote, but it was something to the effect of like about an artist and just kind of like delivering your own product of anything that you share with somebody, right? So like you deliver it to share it, but that you really have to do it from a place of getting the satisfaction out of creating it yourself, right? And just feeling your own personal satisfaction from the process and from making it. And that's as much of the involvement that you have to have in it. After that, like, so be it. You know what I mean? But you can't be so consumed about so be it from jump. And so I will say that, like, yeah, when I very first kind of started doing this podcast, I'm going to go back into something that I've been kind of hung up on. It's like I had a few episodes underneath my belt and I felt like I was in a groove. And then just truthfully, the single most like just Marvin Gaye's, I would it's most enduring gift, you know, that I as a connoisseur, as a totally obsessed every day. Here was something, a conversation that literally happened between me and my stepmom one time, probably about 10 years ago. She and I were sitting at a table together at one of my dad's gigs. We had met up to watch my dad play. And so me and her were sitting there. And they started to play Got to Give It Up. And it was the long version. It was the disco version of that shit. I love a good disco, take of something, because that's going to be a 12, 13 minute rendition. You love it if it's a good groove, right? And Got to Give It Up. I can't even listen to like a 4 minute condensed version of that song. So we were sitting in this restaurant and my dad was on a break from playing. And so then the overhead music for the restaurant, because he has a standing gig where he plays, at a restaurant location. And so they were on their break and then the overhead music, because we were outside on a patio and then they have music that plays inside of the restaurant. And then on my dad's break, the inside of the restaurant music started to play. And then that's when quickly I could tell, okay, they're playing Got to Give It Up here. And so we're kind of sitting there and I'm like, okay, I'm just like feeling it out. Cause it's like, all right, what version of this are they playing? You know, is it the 4 minute condensed? But then we got past it and I was like, oh, what? These people are bad. They're playing the whole 12 plus minute version of this song. Yes. And so I know that song by heart down to like some of the best part of that song is once you get into minute 10 and on, you know what I mean? So it was probably about that point because I just got the groove, like the music's just playing. There's like little dance moves that are just specific to that part of the song, right? Like that length into the song. And so I was just really grooving at that point. And my stepmom looks over at me because we were both just feeling the song, right? Like, we kind of weren't even really talking to each other. We were just into the song. And at that point, she said to me, she's like, do you listen to your Marvin Gaye a lot? And I was like, oh my gosh, every day, right? Like, but that made me so happy. Like, she just could see it. Like, I know she was just kind of asking me, like, it was a possibility that I did not listen to Marvin on a regular basis still. And so she just asked, she really was curious to know that. And I just told her, and I was so happy. It was like, I was like, oh my gosh, every single day. You know what I mean? Still, yes. To this day, I still do listen to Marvin Gaye every single day. And that being the case of who I am, and just, yes, I think if you are listening to this episode from episode zero, where I'm introductioning, I made that word up, this series, I'm obsessed. Yes, I listen to Marvin Gaye every single day. I do. Mm-hmm, I sure do. And that has mostly been the case since I started listening to him 26 years ago. In my mind, that depth of knowledge that I have of Marvin Gaye now, then there is just something like, if I got a couple episodes underneath my belt, and then it seemed like one of the most important things that I could want to share with the world about Marvin Gaye was his song Save the Children. And I was really stressed out about it, like how to phrase it just right and like how to present it in a way that would really share that point and drive home that point and just make it something that, like, that would be my contribution to spreading the word and knowledge, continued knowledge. Not like, okay, I said that wrong, because there is no way in fuck that the word needs to be spread about Marvin. There's no way in fuck that knowledge needs to be spread about Marvin. Like, I sincerely hope that you know your very fair share about Marvin, you know, aside from my takes on things. Because that is just not necessary to not know Marvin well on your own side of things. So I don't feel like, you know, I need to be giving you your first exposures to things about Marvin. You know, if you're writing for that purpose, I'm happy to be, you know, providing you information like that. But it's not like Marvin is obscure and unknown and some guy that, you know, I just am like, I have this weird fetish that I just have this obscure person that I have chosen to just become. No, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's not who Marvin Gaye is. But it would be, of his entire catalog, like, if there is a song to just hone in on and focus on, and for me to want to approach it in a way the most to show it the highest respect and to exalt it as a categorization of his most important song, and that just what the last 20 plus seconds of that song have always represented as a space for me, there was just like this pressure that I was putting on myself of outside of, it was more of a focus on how would that episode be received, and just like really hoping to see high results with it. And honestly, guys, like I've already, you know, driven home my message and understanding and thought process on that song, but it doesn't matter. Like, the numbers on that episode haven't grown yet. You know, this is evergreen content, and that's what I do appreciate about it. It's like, it, somebody new can always come across it, and so it's not necessarily everybody that's already heard it, because you don't need to go back and listen to it multiple times. And I will say, I'm going to just, you know, full disclosure, admit, like, in that episode, I like overly cussed a lot. I do understand that, like, there can be my own delivery of my message that can be a barrier sometimes. So it's like, I do just kind of feel like in that episode particularly, I cussed a lot. And so if that's a reason why somebody could get into it and they're like, eh, you know, and I'm my own
like deterrent for somebody like wanting to listen through that episode, then that's fine, you know, and then shame on me that I was my own roadblock to getting the message across. But when I had this like just highest hope, like this is the most important song of Marvin Gaye's that I want to point out, and I want to just do it the most justice that I can, and I want to come up with like some driving home the point, you know, tagline to just title it and get it out there, when it's not the most popular episode, right? Like for me, and then the mission, and then, you know, the focus that I wanted to have on it. And it just, it's hanging down there compared to like lots of other episodes. And I'm looking at some of the episodes that have almost twice as many listens as that one. And I'm like, why has everybody listened so much more to this other episode over here than the one that I really want everybody to listen to just one time? You know what I mean? It's like, if you're going to hit my podcast series and listen to one episode, I'm trying to tell you this is the one that you need to listen to, and I can't get people to listen to it. And so if I lose track of like what I'm doing this for myself, that would be dejecting. And I would feel like, well, fuck, dude, like I can't even try and talk to you guys anymore. But I've really had to let that go. You know what I mean? And I've listened back, and I understand. I don't take back any of like the intensity of the follow-up episodes that I've dedicated to circling back to drive home the point of the importance of, and again, it's not that episode, but it's that song of Marvin Gaye's in his catalog that, it really just goes back to one of the ways that I've explained it, that like, okay, say you and I are equals on our knowledge base of Marvin Gaye. If we were sitting down and having a conversation though, and Save the Children, and that 20 seconds of the song of Save the Children somehow wasn't like a very, very high up point that you needed to make and just make sure somebody understood about Marvin Gaye's catalog, I don't have a respect of your knowledge. I don't have a respect of what you're focusing on as far as Marvin's content. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, it's the, like I've made the point a couple of times. There are certain things that aren't optional. You know what I mean? And if there are certain things that you do choose to make an option, that's when it's like, I don't have the respect of your knowledge. So that's all. Again, like I say, it's not about someone needing to hear my episode so much as they just have like this very firm knowledge of, you know what? And it's like, I'm hoping it's like, all right, good though, dude. Like I'm totally straight. I'm totally good because I'm already, you know, at that level and at that contemplation, you know, level on Marvin's catalog to understand just without you even needing to drive it home that's the best understanding to have of Marvin Gaye, like, period. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we have the whole catalog and we have to laser point focus into one spot to know Marvin Gaye's heart and soul the best, that is the purest seconds of the catalog that have to be recognized and contemplated and understood and appreciated at that level to get it. And that's all I can share with you. You know what I'm saying? I can't at this point, and just to continue moving on with my project, I can't give a fuck about how many people have the time to listen to the episode. You know what I'm saying? I put the episode out there. I cussed a little bit too much in it, but aside from that, I drove home the point, the fact. So, you know, either people can get with it or they can't. I can get with it. It's my project. And I still have things to say, so I got to keep pushing. The numbers not being where they need to be to reflect that other people get it. I can't be doing this project for listen counts per episode, connection per episode. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I know that I have to have an audience, but maybe the audience comes with time. Maybe the audience hasn't gotten the, you know, memo yet. So I still have things to say. I know what I still need to say, and I got to keep it moving from where I've already been and things I've already had to say. So a couple of episodes back, I made this reference to a folder that I had come across as I had been looking through old files that I had of mine, of Marvin Gaye. And I said, you know, in an upcoming episode, I'll actually have these things in front of me and I will relay, you know, what I was talking about here. So I just right now, I went and I got my folder. And this was something that has been on my mind lately of like whether or not I should even discuss and get into. I'm looking through the folder again right now. And so I am going to do this and I'm going to do it real time. And I think it's going to be absolutely hilarious and I'm going to love it. But okay, I'm looking through my folder right now and where I've just now gotten to, and I'm going to take a second to focus, is my Xeroxed copies, my Xeroxed black and white copies of the Marvin Gaye, discography, chronological order, pages from the Marvin Gaye collection that I made Xerox copies of when I was in North Dakota when I was 14 years old. Here are these original pages. It is 1, 2, 3 pages. Yep. And it's giving me every... I'm looking... I'm wondering if it's only giving me the albums that he did with Motown because... it doesn't even have Sexual Healing on here as the last album. Should we do this? The Soulful Moods of Marvin Gaye is number 1. That Stubborn Kind of Fella, number 2. Recorded Live on Stage, number 3. When I'm Alone, I Cry, number 4. Marvin Gaye's Greatest Hits, 5. Together, 6. Hello, Broadway, 7. How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You, 8. Tribute to the Great Nat King Cole, 9. Moods of Marvin Gaye, 10. Take 2, 11. United, 12. Marvin Gaye's Greatest Hits, Volume 2, 13. You're All I Need with Tammy Terrell, 14. In the Groove and I Heard It Through the Grapevine, 15. MPG, 16. Marvin Gaye and His Girls, 17. Easy, 18. That's the Way It Is, 19. Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, Greatest Hits, 20. Super Hits, 21. What's Going On, 22. Trouble Man, 23. Let's Get It On, 24. Diana and Marvin, 25. Anthology, 26. Marvin Gaye Live, 27. I Want You, 28. Marvin Gaye's Greatest Hits, 29. Marvin Gaye Live at the London Palladium, 30. Here My Dear, 31. Love Man, 32. Superstar Series, Volume 2, 33. Superstar Series, Volume 15, 34. In Our Lifetime, 35. Every Great Motown Hit, 36. Great Songs and Performances, 37. Compact Command Performances, 38. Motown Legends, 39. Marvin Gaye and His Women, 40. Motown Remembers Marvin Gaye, 41. Marvin Gaye Anthology, 42. Compact Command Performances, Volume 2, 43. A Musical Testament, 44. It doesn't. Motown had the nerve. Conference on this discography of Marvin Gaye. They don't put Sexual Healing. It's the one album he didn't do with them, but okay, Marvin Gaye albums in chronological order, the Soulful Moods. No, okay, I'm sorry. Here was this little handwritten exercise that I told you I had come across. And I'm holding this piece of paper right now. It is college ruled. It is ripped out of a 3-ring binder notebook. And my handwriting is immaculate and it is cursive. And they don't even teach these kids cursive handwriting anymore. And this is, it should be in the Smithsonian for how beautiful it is. Marvin Gaye albums in chronological order. And this is handwritten. And so I have number 1 circled, the Soulful Moods of Marvin Gaye, underlined, released June 1961, parentheses.
And then I am going through and I'm writing every single song on the album. So let me read you the I'm Afraid the Masquerade is Over, My Funny Valentine, Witchcraft, Easy Living, How Deep is the Ocean, How High is the Sky, Love for Sale, Always, How High the Moon, Let Your Conscience Be Your Guide, Never Let You Go, You Don't Know What Love Is.
And then I've gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then I must have realized, Jessica, what the fuck? Okay. Really, baby girl, what the fuck? So it seems like that stopped. Oh, but nope. Because then I told you, we then got a computer. And so then what I did is I started over on the computer and I typed it all up. So I keep flipping through my pages here and I have now hit the typed up discography. But in the middle here, there's this piece of paper that is saying, okay, let me just read this because I have no idea what I'm even looking at. Oh, okay. It says Prodigy Interactive Personal Service, April 3rd, 1995, 7:12 and 29 seconds p.m. The McGill Movie Guide, Trouble Man, released 1972, directed by Ivan Dix, starring Robert Hooks, Paul Winfield, Ralph Waite, William Smithers. MPAA rating R, runtime 99 minutes, it's in color. Abstract, an inner city Robin Hood, Robert Hooks, is hunted down by the police and gang leaders. Cast, Mr. T is Robert Hooks, Chalky is Paul Winfield, Pete is Ralph Waite, Police Detective is William Smithers, Cleo is Paula Kelly, Big, Julius Harris, Jimmy, Bill Henderson, production credits. Producers, Joel D. Freeman, released by 20th Century Fox, directors, Ivan Dixon, author, John D. F. Black, cinematographer, Michelle Hugo, editor, Michael Kahn, music, Marvin Gaye, art direction, Albert Brenner, set direction, Morris Hoffman. I needed to know what's the movie Trouble Man all about. Okay, now we get to these pages here. My goodness, still counting, still flipping these pages. And now it is my personally typed up beautiful font too. I made a nice big font. This is probably 18 point font. And it is the entire chronology. All right. And here I have, this is handwritten. It says, let's count the actual albums. That's 26. Let's count the ones I have. It's 18. The number left is 8. Then here we go. There's this little paragraph I told you about. The following is a list of all the albums that Marvin ever released through Motown. These are not all of the albums that he ever recorded, but just the ones he released. There are also a few greatest hits albums, keeping in mind that there are many other albums out on the market which have his name as the recording artist. I know that these are not all of them. However, this list is a list of all the albums of his early career. Keeping all of this in mind, it will go in chronological order. I will underline the title of the albums I have. And I see that's exactly what I've done because I have that stubborn kind of fella is underlined. Well, I didn't have When I'm Alone, I Cry yet. This will give me an idea of like, when did I do this? Okay, I had the tribute to the great Nat King Cole. I had the Moods of Marvin Gaye. I had, I wasn't 15 yet because I didn't have... Oh, no, nope. Yes, I was 15 because I do have Your All I Need. I was looking at United with Tammy Terrell, but I have Your All I Need with Tammy Terrell. I have In the Groove and I Heard It Through the Grapevine. I have Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell's Greatest Hits. These are the discs in the 20 slots of my carrying cases, people. I have What's Going On. I have Trouble Man. I have Let's Get It On. I have Diana and Marvin. Oh, my game's pretty... legit by now, dude. But I don't have Marvin Gaye Live yet. Okay, they haven't opened Media Play yet. I have I Want You. I have Marvin Gaye's Greatest Hits from 1976. I have Live at the London Palladium. You know what I could be counting is the albums in the living room. I have Hear My Dear. I have In Our Lifetime. Oh, but if I have In Our Lifetime, I didn't ever get that until it was on disc. And I was like seven. I remember being 17 when I had that album. But that's an interesting one. I can't believe that I didn't have Live yet, because I would have said that I got that Live album before I had In Our Lifetimes. This is helping me remember the chronological order that I got these things. Because I will say, people, that's what kind of has me pausing right now, because it's like, I don't remember what album I started listening to next. Okay, so I have In Our Lifetime. I have Marvin Gaye and His Women. And that was that. Okay, now the next pages that I've come to here are these pages that I ripped out from the TV guide when some monumental things were going on TV about Marvin Gaye. And let me see here. The date is August 15th. It was a Monday. And it was 1994. August 15th of 1994. Biography on the A&E channel at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Biography, Marvin Gaye, Troubled Man. And then that came on again that night at 10 p.m. And then on BET, it was a tribute to Black music legends from 6 to 7, exact same time as that biography. And so the only way that I was going to be able to, you know, make those two things work is that at least the biography was coming on again that night at 10. Because a tribute to Black legends, I told you guys this, it was some type of a tribute concert. Oh my gosh, I did not have this in front of me at that point. But it was like they were honoring people, and Marvin Gaye was a part of that. But then what else? I could have sworn that also that night and in that same time frame that they played the concert that Marvin Gaye performed in Holland in like 76-ish. I don't see it. I have little check marks next to those two things. But I thought three things were going on. Don't see it. But I feel like I remembered needing to juggle all of this stuff on TV on one night. Okay, I don't see it. But it did happen one time. They were playing that concert on TV too. I remember that by the time that I got to this day right here, this was a very monumental day. I struggled with depression when I was this age. 15. Yeah, that made me 15. You know why? I was getting ready to go into high school. And this was that summer transferring from junior high into high school. And I just had so much fear of going into high school. I was just worried, even though I've already explained that, like, we weren't about to be the youngest people on campus, only because these ninth graders were coming with us for the first time that the school district was doing this transition. But it was still just that daunting prospect anyway. And I just was like, okay, you know, like, what things could I get of Marvin Gaye's just in this life that I'd be just satisfied if I could get? And it was to get a concert performance of him, to be able to see him in concert. So obviously, like, somehow somebody's got to play one of these concerts that were recorded of him. I got to see that. I hadn't seen this yet. I wanted a poster. I remember that I wanted to acquire a big ass poster of Marvin Gaye. And I feel like there was something else. I think really, really hard it was to acquire that live concert, the 1974 concert as well. But so then when just, you know, because what did you do? You would get your TV guide on Sunday. And so, wow,
yeah, this is Monday. So I had gotten this the day before, right? And then boom, here comes these tribute things. But I feel like I didn't just find out about this one day ahead of time. They had been hyping both of these things up for a little bit. So that was something that was able to be prepared for. I'm flipping this over. Yeah. No. That television concert doesn't seem to have happened that same night. Okay, I have another piece of paper here. Another pullout from the TV guide. This is now October 15th, 1995. And why do I have this? I do remember that somebody did a Motown. I don't know. They had the actual Motown artists. It wasn't Motown 25, right? But it was this. Okay. October 19th. I have this pulled out. Why do I have these two pages pulled out? I don't have anything highlighted for myself. So it's like, well, that's really special, Jessica. Like, why are you going to make yourself have to go through looking really hard through two pages of the TV guide just to try and come across? Did you ever have to do this? Is the way you used to be able to plan out your TV watching for the week, dude? Though you did have to literally peruse a hard copy piece of paper. This is on like newspaper print paper here, and I'm looking and I don't see anything Marvin Gaye related that's jumping out at me. 95 in October. Let me look at MTV. Was this when that MTV documentary came on? Oh, yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Like, that was it. I had to hone in on MTV. MTV, I've told you guys about this. I told you guys about this in the Hawaii episode. Okay, so October 19th was a Thursday. It was in 1995, so here I was in high school. I was still alive, and I was still surviving, right? And on MTV at 7:30 p.m. came on Inner City Blues, the music of Marvin Gaye. Full, that was sick, and it was the premiere. This was fucking sick. And let me tell you what it's got, too. It's got this little code right next. It's like, what's the code? It's too little. I can't see it. I think it says like 906619 or something. I had this really fancy VCR that I had gotten for my birthday. Did I? I think I've pointed this out. Maybe I know. Let me put it like this. I know I've recorded about this VCR in the past, but I think it's an episode that I didn't actually get around to uploading. I feel like for my 15th birthday, so this year that I'm looking at this TV guide, I got this really fancy VCR for my birthday, and I hadn't asked for it. So it was one of these birthdays where it was like, okay, here's your gift, right? And it was from my family, and it was kind of odd. It was like, okay, a VCR. Okay. I didn't have a TV of my own though. So it was just kind of one of these like, well, this is definitely not something that like I can kind of just personally on my own use. It's not like I can take this into my room or anything. So. It was one of those gifts, you know, you do that to your kids sometimes where it's like, this is for you, but it's for the family, right? So it was for the family. and that's fine, you know, whatever. Cause I definitely don't let me seem ungrateful. Even though it was for the family, because the only way that it could be utilized was attached to like the main TV in the living room and shit. I was at this place that I was doing a lot of my own personal, VCR recording, because I've explained I was an old movie aficionado, and oops, what are we at? Full. I've already broken this down. AMC, right? Used to be the gangsters of nothing but 24 hours a day, old movies. So just by chance on October 19th, the same night, AMC was playing Chief Crazy Horse, followed by Never Steal Anything Small. I have no idea what the fuck that is. And then followed, just back to back to back though, Again, they were repeating Chief Crazy Horse. Okay, they didn't always play the best stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? But they always only played old movies. Let me go back to this August 15th. Okay, on August 15th, they were playing The Thing. Then they played This Island Earth. Then they played The Thing. Then This Island Earth. Okay, they were repeating a lot of stuff, but they were replaying it 24 hours a day. Oh, and it wasn't the commercial break in that stuff. It was back to back to back movies. So I was recording a lot of movies. Anything Cary Grant related was getting recorded. And so, yes, this VCR was very much for my use, just not only for my use. But these little codes, right? It was a very fancy little VCR because the TV Guide used to give you these codes, and you would, with this fancy upgraded VCR that I had, you'd put your tape in and you could set your shit to record days out, right? So that's why you would get your TV Guide here and you would have to look through the week. And I would, I'd be looking through AMC for the week. What Cary Grant movie's coming up? Okay, it's coming up on this day. And all I would have to do into my VCR is type in that little code that was tied to the programming. And I'm looking at this, every single thing, just about every single thing in the TV Guide here has a code tied to it so that you could record it. And you could set your, you know, all you had to do was put your tape into the VCR so that it had something to record onto. And then, you know, as long as you had set your little code, whenever that day came and that time came, you had your tape in there, it would record that thing for you. So yes, oh, but that Inner City Blues thing that happened on October 19th, that was a sick documentary, dude, biography. That was very well produced. That had, they had current day artists. So they had, I've never listened to one song by these people, U2. I've never listened to one of their songs. I know they're worldwide, but they had that guy singing Save the Children, dude. He did his own version of Save the Children. They had Madonna did a version of I Want You. They had Nona Gay at the very end. She did Inner City Blues. They had Nina Cherry did Trouble Man. I'm trying to think if they had any more people slide in and do a song. But these, they were total takes by these artists. Like, these artists were presenting these songs, and they were music videos too, right? As if it was such a not redo of Marvin's version of the song. Like, it was so originally done. And like I said, they had filmed these music videos tied to them, but it was a lot of biography on Marvin too. They interviewed Jan and the two kids. They had Nona and Frankie. That was where Smokey Robinson came on and was talking about the time when Marvin went to Hawaii and had asked for the money that he couldn't give to him. They had this guy, and I just saw him finally the other night. They were talking to him a lot. I remember part of what he said. So this guy's grill was just kind of, you know, it was rough looking. And I was just wondering, like, who is this man? Because the man just looked like he had had, you know, some hard times. And I just couldn't really understand what his relationship to Marvin was, but he was talking a lot about Marvin and like hanging out with Marvin. And he was talking a lot about the drug use and, just a lot of stuff. But I remember like one of the main things that he was saying, and I loved this because he was talking about how down to earth Marvin was. And so that kind of like, wherever they would go on tours and stuff, like Marvin would just go to the towns, the cities, and he would just go, like, he would like to go play basketball and stuff. And so he would just go find like a local basketball court, and he would just show up to like pick up a game or whatever. And this guy was just talking about, and he was like, that's just how down to earth Marvin Gaye was though, you know. And he would come and he would hand out, you know, $20 bills just to whoever was in the neighborhood that he could help out. And he was like, that was Marvin Gaye though. And he was like, and you didn't have to jack him. Like, You know, because it was just like, he was just so cool and he was just so down to earth and he was just so, you know, just interacting with people. He didn't hold himself like he was above anybody, but he was, but, you know, he would show up and he would have on, you know, his nice things or whatever, but he was like, he was so down to earth and he was, you didn't have to jack him. Just, this guy was funny. He gave a lot of good commentary and I still, but I just had never heard his name or really didn't know who he was. So this week on the YouTube channel, I posted, I've done this now two times. I posted first just an audio of a video that I titled Marvin Gaye Tells Us His Purpose. And I hope, please watch that. That is exceptionally important. If I'm doing this podcast series about the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye and just what Marvin Gaye brings about Joy on Demand and just his positivity and Save the Children. If I spoke for 14 minutes at the beginning of this about Save the Children, I was just looking for videos. Now I was looking for videos. I was in Amazon and I just typed in Marvin Gaye. And so then some concerts came up, right? And so there was this concert that Marvin gave in 1980. It's called Live at the Montreux or Live in Montreux. Cause there's this jazz festival that happens every year in Montreux, someplace over in Europe, right? Montreux is a European town and they do a jazz festival. And, in 1980, Marvin performed there. And a part of when he was on stage, he was talking about like, just thanks to, you know, other people that have been performing here too. He shouted out Al Jarreau. I know Al Jarreau. We listened to a lot of Al Jarreau growing up. So that was cool. But yeah, so Marvin did this concert at the Montreux Jazz Festival. And he really is doing like his catalog at that point. And he closes out the concert though on the song What's Going On. And at the very end of the song, he comes in and this is the only time I've ever heard Marvin speaking, saying this, where he's just like, you know, what is going on? And here's, I've often sat and thought about that myself, you know, like don't, it was interesting to hear Marvin say this, you know what I'm saying? Where he was like addressing what's going on, right? Because when you think about it, the song itself, What's Going On, really does, it just kind of gives you just some high level takes, you know, it's still so relevant to this day. Maybe that's exactly the reason why it's still so relevant, is because it's kind of like these universal themes, right? But now Marvin Gaye, he like broke it way, way down at the end of this concert. So what I noticed is that guy that said you didn't have to jack Marvin Gaye. He would come into your town and he would just be at your local basketball court. That guy is the drummer that's drumming in this concert. And as like, cause I could totally, the guy's grill, he's got a unique, you would remember him if you see him. So that's who that guy was. Cause like I said, in that MTV thing, he was speaking from such a firsthand, his own experiences with Marvin basis, but he was not somebody that I had ever seen before. So it was just interesting to see him in context of like who he was to Marvin. He was Marvin's drummer. But yeah, that video, Marvin, he takes 4+ minutes and he's just describing his purpose in life and what he thinks everybody's purpose in this life is. But I love it about Marvin, and I've explained this is my take too. Like, I don't need to beat my opinions over somebody's head. Marvin doesn't do that either. He goes in depth about what he believes the purpose of life is, specifically his purpose, but he expands it to say this is what everybody's purpose is. But then at the end he says, but this is just how I see it. He's like, you know, I don't know. He's like, that's how I see it. And he leaves it at that, you know, and he just says, like, I hope that you've gotten some positive energy from us. I feel almost like sometimes I come across a little hippie-ish, but when I heard Marvin saying that, and I'm going to even go a little further with this. When I heard Marvin saying this, because like I said, this is the first time I ever heard him talking like this personally, you know, where you're, I can hear him. I'm actually watching him right now. You know what I mean? Like, not reading it. I'm hearing him. Here's a thing about being a believer, you know, just in a believer of a higher power, because, you know, then there's all different types of ways that you can go with that. But if you believe, if you are a believer in a higher power, I was talking to my sister about this just the other night. My own personal struggle. I have in relationships in this life come across men. Right. And I think this is a very specific to men thing for me, where I have come across men who I don't get a strong sense that they're on my level of believing in a higher power. That's a dangerous territory to get into of intimacy. And I'm going to press forward and I'm going to try and just have a one-on-one relationship, and I'm going to give you quality time, and, you know, we're going to intertwine lives and shit. When you can't have a connection with somebody on a very important basis like that, that's dangerous territory to get in. That's dangerous to give time to. That's dangerous to trailblaze into. It's probably not going to be the best outcome, because it's so fundamental. You either do or do not believe in that type of shit. And if you do and don't, there's not a whole lot of crossing of our paths that really can happen in positive ways, right? But if we are crossing paths, it's probably based on the not right things that paths can cross for, right? So I have come across too many men in my lifetime so far where dove in and they didn't, you know, did they have any type of a belief? For this many years that I sit here and I rock and I ride with Marvin and I'm listening to him every day and I just have all of my connection to him, I come across this Live at Montreux concert. I rock with it. I'm listening. It's an hour and 38 minutes. I'm listening. I think I've seen it, you know, once or twice in the past, but you know, you go that long in between. It was like I was watching it for the first time. And, you know, then we came to what's going on. It's at the very end of the concert. And Marvin just starts to speak at the end like that. And oh my God, it touched me so deeply, because there has never been such a feeling of safety in knowing that you love the right person. Do you know what I'm saying? It was like, oh my God, Marvin got it. You know what I mean? Marvin's mind and heart and soul was all in the space and place that I ever need someone else's energy, space, place, mind, faith to be knowing that this is correct, this is safe, this is of God, this is aligned, this is what we need to be seeking out to attach to. And so, not that I had ever questioned that or worried about that, but I had never gotten it broken down to this degree by Marvin himself to me before. There was a lot of people sitting in that audience, you know, kind of as receptive to my Save the Children episode as it seems to have been received so far. Marvin wasn't getting like a lot of interaction from these people as he was saying all this shit. But that's the thing. It's like when you're creating something, dude, you have to create it from where you know you're creating it from and why you know you are creating it. And you have to give it from there, and you have to put it out there from that place. You know what I'm saying? Like, there has to be, that is the reason why you're releasing it and sharing it. And you put it out there purely like that. And from that open-hearted place like that, and you put it out there and you leave it, and it's received how it's received. you know? But as long as you know you were true to you and you had a really strong need and reason to say and do what you did, and then you did it correctly, you put it out there, you leave it and you walk away, it's received how it's received. It didn't seem like really anybody in that fucking audience understood what the fuck Marvin was talking about, but I did. And I heard that right at the right time in this life right now, where it was just like all the more aligning and just kind of reminding me that, yes, I'm walking by something higher than what circumstances show me. I'm not looking at this. I'm not going by this, because what I know is that that would be me. If I had a fear about that, that would be me living in fear of men, me living in fear of what mankind can do. Let's be terrified of that all day long. If that's the only thing that we want to believe in and go by and up and down and be affected, and that's how we feel, and that's how the quality of life that we can have is how mankind is going to do each other. Oh my God. But it's like, you know what? I don't go by the visions of what there is to see. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be able to elevate above that to know that, are you a good person? Do you have a good heart? Are you not out here trying to just be doing the wrong thing all day long? Are you not trying to screw people over? Is your mode of operation not just not give a fuck about other people and have an ugly heart and just be okay? Well, guess what? That's got to be recognized by somebody who can kind of do things that you can't do. And that's just, I know how I'm living. I know that God knows how I'm living. You know, it doesn't matter how I would be living. God would be able to know that. And in the midst of that, to hear words and see the words being spoken from somebody that you love so much, just because of what they provide to your life on a positive basis for consistency, for decades. There's like I said, people, things could be worse, right? Things could be worse. I do kind of apologize about the timing of my episode of that Hawaii episode when some bad circumstances were coming down around the world. I didn't realize it yet. I didn't have knowledge of how bad things were actually going to get with that. And so the words that I was speaking were kind of flippant and kind of as if things would not have turned out as bad as they did happen. And in no way was I trying to have a flippancy about that. So I do apologize for, at the end of the day, it seems like circumstances did turn out to be a lot more dire and a lot worse. And that really was a very big natural disaster situation that happened to a lot of different places. And I, you know, it's not something that can just be, oh, let's just watch the Jersey Shore. Of course, you know, you can't, you don't even have access to that. So I did not, my timing with that was just the wrong time. It hadn't gotten that bad yet. And I didn't know that it was going to get much worse. So, you know, sometimes life is just going to be like a major bitch, dude. But, like I say, I still believe praise in the midst is definitely just the best way to go about getting through things. And, you know, I'm sitting here on the precipice of something major about to shift in my life, and it involves my livelihood, right? So if it's taken away, then that's something to be heated, right? Like, that's not going to be something that you could just, okay, now I'm just going to watch the Jersey Shore, right? Like, it's going to, sometimes there are some major, major changing things in life that are going to shift and shuffle up your circumstances. But that's the time the most I just feel like you got to have a higher something that you're relying on. It's got to be above what these circumstances look like. And you get knocked down, but it's about how you get back up. And, you know, you got to just stay swinging. But if you can just have positivity and somebody that is alive. Okay, so I listened to that in this concert. And like I said, it's the first time I'm ever processing it to this degree. Like I said, I know this isn't the first time I've heard this concert, but I haven't heard this concert, and I can guarantee you 10 years back was the last time I ever came across it. I listened to that and I was in tears just hearing Marvin being so aligned with my spirit, you know, my soul. And I had to figure out a way to get the audio of that, to make a video for you guys of just that portion. of Marvin speaking. And I did. And then, because I couldn't figure out how to just trim down the concert to that spot. But then I was able to do that the other, so I've posted that too. And now you also have him actually speaking, the concert footage of that too. And I posted that last night on the YouTube channel. We'll see if it's still available. They may take it all down, but if you can hop on that, listen to that. That's Marvin Gaye. That's him telling you him. I've pointed that out in the last episode too. It's super duper important to hear Marvin talking about Marvin. And so, yeah, if there is just a safety in knowing that you're rocking and riding, and what is this term that everybody uses, these kids are using nowadays, stan? I don't even know what the fuck that is supposed to mean, but like I said, I watch YouTube too much nowadays, and I'm seeing all of these millennials, when they are a fan of somebody, that's who they are. They are now an S-T-A-N, a stan of somebody. So they're like, oh, the this and that person stans. And it's like, okay. But yeah, when you're a stan for somebody, I can never ever say that again. But when you're a fan of somebody so hardcore and you've just been writing with them and you've not ever been having any fear like, oh, possibly this person isn't somebody that I should be aligned up with. But when just not even needing that confirmation, you get it anyway. And it's just so important. It's on such an important level. It's just like, thank you. You know what I mean? Thank you. It's just another thing to be thankful for. And it's another way to get through the circumstances of this life. So all of that is just to say, you know, hooray. I don't know how I got off on this because I've just now gotten back into my little files here and I see something. I have another page pulled out from one of my birthdays. My birthday in the year 98. Okay, so in 98, I always have to think about this. My year, my age is always just a digit off from the year of the calendar. Okay, in 98... I must have been 19. Yeah, because the next year I would have been 20. So on my birthday one year, I have the TV guide pulled out again. Okay. Oh, this was, let me go here. It was this Motown 40. There we go. So on ABC at 8 o'clock that night, Motown 40, The Music is Forever. Diana Ross presents a salute to the entertainment empire featuring Smokey Robinson, Aretha Franklin, part one of two. They played that for me on my birthday. 1 year. Okay. And then also I have the same year. Oh, okay. It was part two of two. Motown 40, part two of two. Okay. And then I have mini series Rocks with 40 years of Motown's best. I pulled this page out because in the bottom corner of this little montage picture, they have a picture of Marvin. So yeah, I don't actually really remember watching it that closely. I think maybe I wasn't completely impressed with that. But then here we go. There was some work that I did with the TV guide because I did some very nice cutting and gluing. And so I have a little college ruled piece of notebook paper and some things clipped out of the TV guide and taped on. So tonight on TV, biography at 6 and 10 on Annie, Marvin Gaye, Troubled Man, profiles the late talented vocalist whose series of personal problems came to a head in 1984. Blah, da, 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 da. I'm not reading the rest of that. And then Tuesday, the Apollo Theater Hall of Fame, 7 p.m., Channel 4, the second annual ceremony pays tribute to Chuck Berry, comedian turned radio host Dick Gregory, and the late singer Marvin Gaye, Queen Latifah, Robert Townsend, and literally the TV guide just ends right there.
And then tonight on TV, Living Single, Inner City Blues, the music of Marvin Gaye at 7:30 on MTV. Several of today's top vocal artists perform tunes of the late singer-songwriter as a salute to his career. Performers include Bono, Boyz II Men. I don't remember them being in that. Nina Cherry, Madonna with Massive Attack, and Gaye's daughter, Nona Gaye. And then I have it's a picture and it shows Madonna and Elvis Presley. Look into the lives behind the lyrics. They possessed the power to break boundaries and inspired millions along the way. Monday, Marvin Gaye. Tuesday, Stevie Wonder. Wednesday, Madonna. Thursday, Frank Zappa. And Friday, Elvis Presley. Biography. Musical Giants Week. Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Oh, and then I just flipped a page and there's this beautiful picture of Marvin. Marvin Gaye. It's just a salacious little story. I can't even believe that I have that. I needed the picture, not this little bullshit two-column paragraph that's right next to it. Okay. But then, I don't know. I barely maybe started to say this, and then I started to speak about everything else that I've spoken about so far. Additionally, what is in this folder? Because this is a nice little green hanging file folder. And it says stories/Marvin. And then inside of it is this little manila folder. I work in an office setting, dude, so I have to keep my stuff organized. So I have this stuff all in a nice folder. But this was the aspect of things that I was wondering if I was ever going to share with you guys. And it's the stories part. So definitely back in these days when I was first learning Marvin, I was also a hardcore into story writing, creative writing, journalism major, right? And let me just point out, because I don't want to give the wrong impression, I didn't graduate from college. I'm not a journalist, right? Like, I didn't graduate with a degree. I didn't graduate from college, so I don't have a journalism degree. But writing has just always been my gift. It's always been something that has been a source of joy for me. And I think, like, that's what you call a gift, something that's like that, right? Something that you can just freely do and it provides you joy. Call that a gift? Why is that not a gift? That's your gift, right? Because when it brings you your own source of joy, that is a gift. I remember writing about my first story when I was 5 years old. I was in kindergarten. I was sitting at my grandparents' table and I could tell, like, it was kind of something that I must have been a little bit good at because I made my grandpa laugh, but I wasn't trying to. I was very serious. I was writing a little story. I had just, you know, 5 years old and learning. I know how to write now, you know, do my little ABCs and stuff. And I can write little words too. And so I was sitting there at the kitchen table with my papa, and it was just me and him. It was during the day. And I was sitting there because I used to go to half days of school in kindergarten, and my papa would take me to school and he would pick me up, and then I would spend the afternoon at home with him because my grandma would be working until midnight at the hospital. So we were sitting there. I was at the table. I was at the table. My papa was standing at the stove, so he had to have been cooking, and I was writing. I was writing a story about a princess and a prince, but I think it was maybe a frog that she had to kiss for him to turn into the prince. And so I was writing out that little story, and I was saying it out loud, but then I was writing it too. And so I got to this, I was telling my papa, you know, like, she's saying this to him and he's saying that to her. And so then I said, she says to him, "You're a comedian." And I just remembered that my papa started laughing when I said that. And so I needed him to help me spell the big word. And so I was like, "Papa, how do you spell comedian?" And so he's told me how to spell comedian. But yeah, I was writing my first little story like that at 5. We're just coming up with it in my head and writing it down as I was going along. So I've been doing this my whole life. And definitely, you know, this is what I'm saying, is this was pure art. It wasn't about sharing it with anybody, putting it on display, like needing numbers tied to it. But so it came out very freely and very purely and just my gift. I used to write stories to Marvin's music. And so I've been wondering, because I've been rethinking about these stories. I used to write them. And so when I was in this folder just now, I came across this this folder, and before I got to all of that material that I just walked you through, before I got to that stuff was behind, I probably have 20 to 40 pages of paper here of they are my stories. I wasn't reading anything yet, but I was flipping through and I was like, why are there so many? I wrote this much? I haven't written. Oh my gosh. I haven't written a story since this time. Honestly, since this time. It turned into journaling once I got into my 20s. So, because my life kind of turned into a story. And so I just used to kind of journal, you know, and that was enough because, oh my gosh. But before my life was my story, I used to write the story that Marvin's songs were giving to me. And so I think what I'm going to do, this episode right here has turned out to be more than an hour long. So I'm going to wrap this one up, but I'm going to, here's what I'm going to do. Just, you know, I'm going to go back to the positive place that I'm just going to stay in. I'm not going to try to, I'm just going to stay in when it comes to this podcast series. I've explained it in the past. I know I heard this recently a couple of days ago where I was saying it's like I'm getting a kick out of this. This is the time of my life for me. And if I don't get anything else out of it other than that, other than this is just the time of my life for me, then that's that. You know, that's all I need to get out of it. It's not going to be like I told you. Guys, you know what? And you know how much money I've made. And it's actually a pretty good thing because I make a penny at a time. I told my other sister this the other night. She's really interested in wanting to get something going to outside of Walmart, you know, cause she is, I was talking to her. I was telling her how I shouted her out in an episode cause she was telling me about work anyway. You know what I mean? Just like some improvements, at least that have happened at her store recently. They had a worry of an active shooter about to flip the fuck out in their store. They had to fire somebody. And this fool flipped the fuck out when they were doing that, started talking all kinds of shit about how he was leaving and coming back. They called the police in response to that. Took those motherfuckers more. Wait, 911 is a joke in your town. Is how long it took them to get to the fucking store. By this time, one of the associates had passed out. She had a panic attack and passed out. So they were calling both the police and the ambulance, and 911 is a joke. So that's how long it took them to get there. And the store manager flipped the fuck out on them when they finally got there. And she was like, oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? Like, we had a legit concern and worry, especially after some other shit has gone down in this country recently out of fucking Walmart. And we had to call you guys to get over here to support us. And this is how long you had the nerve to take. So when she and I were talking just a couple of days ago, at least thank Jesus, the positive outcome and resolution to that was that they now have put permanently, well, not permanently, but for the time being, two police officers are stationed at that store all day long now. So, cause we don't have time for it, but, I lost my train of thought cause I was getting into my computer for something just now. This is the realities. So the pot smoking. It's this right here. Let me explain that. And I'm never going to just like try and dwell on this, but this is what I have realized for myself. Like my long-term, it's not like it doesn't give you Alzheimer's. It's not like you forget who you are and you forget your past and shit, but it is what am I here for? What did I just come here to do? Why did I just open up my laptop? And now I can't remember. It's been more than... been 12 years since I don't do that shit anymore, but the brain cells are gone. So yeah. But anyway, it was just to say that, my sister, you know, she's doing her thing and she's looking into something outside of Walmart. Now the time is, she explains to me, she'll be when she's 45, she gets to retire from Walmart. And that's
she's still got a ways to go until then. But when she's 45, fuck, she's still going to be so young and she'll be able to read that. Oh, and I'm so proud of my sister too. She's done so much. I haven't done it. I don't even have it. I do. I have a very chump change 401k because I have not. It took me a really long time. I was in my late 20s when I finally got one set up. I had my little contributions going for a little while at one job. Then I stopped being at that job and I have never been diligent about doing it again since. So I am not really ever going to be able to retire, I don't think. But I'm not really worried about it. I'm not stressed about that. But my sister, on the other hand, she was cracking me up. She's been contributing to her 401k since she was 15. And she had the nerve to say to me, she's like, but the stocks, she's like, I didn't get into that until I was 20. And I just started. I'm like, sis, you are in amazing shape given the fact that you started buying the Walmart stocks when you were 20. She, you know, was going to make it seem like she's as old as I am and she didn't get started until, you know what I mean? Like, my sister is going to be set with her 401k. She has been contributing to it legitimately since she was 15. So she legitimately is going to be able to retire on her 401k from Walmart when she's 45. Okay, but she's also just now looking at what can she get started next. And it's just, we were talking about podcast and YouTube and that type of stuff. So, but I think, I don't even remember what the fuck I was trying to say in regard to that. But I'm back to my thought now. I'm just going to change my back to my thought. It's these stories. I'm going to record myself reading real time, because all I have is this shit in my hand right now. I have not looked at these stories in 20 years. I guarantee it. I haven't looked at it in 20 years, because I do remember a while back coming across this shit and reading it at that point in time, but I can guarantee that was probably about 20 years ago. So I am going to record myself real time, just reading my little stories, and then we'll see if I choose to, you know, release that as an episode. But I know that it's just going to be so, but here's what I can guarantee you. It's going to be melodramatic. Oh, these stories were melodramatic. Oh, they were a mess, because they were just coming from a little 15-year-old girl who had never been in a relationship yet and just was making everything so just dramatic, and it could have been life and death. Like, just the next thing happened could have been a life and death situation, and just the drama and the trauma, and just, ugh. I do remember they were some very Dynasty, Falcon Crest, Dallas, Days of Our Lives storylines. So, ugh. You know what? I may need to go on ahead and release it for us all to just get some, you know, comic relief off of these. They never should have been published. Okay. But they, you know, they might just be some amazing comic relief for right now. So, yeah, you may check for these. But that's what I knew that I had these. I knew that I had done this. I knew that I had spent a lot of time. So in those early years of first coming across this material and first hearing this music, always for me with Marvin, and at that time, it's not so much. You know why? It's because if I can come across new Marvin Gaye material at this point in time, well, number one, I don't really write anymore. Number two, these are not complete brand new albums that I'm able to come across. Some of them are, you know, I would say that Kim Weston album, I hadn't really ever had access fully to that, but those are little short, teeny tiny 3-minute Motown sound, choppy, not creating a cohesive storyline, album project. So they, listening to that music doesn't create a storyline for me. But once we got into Marvin's like cohesive albums, oh my gosh, child, I Want You. But I can tell you, one of them I can tell is from Let's Get It On, because of the title that I gave that song. So, you know, those albums, though, it starts from note one until he's what? I Want You until after the day I'm walking out of here. You, baby, you know, it's like he told that story
from start to finish. You know what I'm saying? Can you see a story to that album? So that's what I used to write. I would listen. I do believe I'm going to tell you, like, the next, aside from reading these stories, the next album that I have to be at is I Want You. I've been racking my brain and I know, it's just to really continue the baddest motherfucker theme narrative red thread throughout this series is taking me to another place, but I'm not chronologically in my study of Marvin Gaye there yet before I would need to cover some other albums. So that can always just be where it's going to be because we're going to get there. And that is going to, I think that place needs to be arrived at. I don't think it's like, I feel like I would lose some momentum if I just went straight to that place right now. But we're not there. I'm not chronologically there yet. I didn't get there yet before I had deeply studied some other albums. But so I Want You. I get that disc, that whole album, once I have gotten my first little $100, I've bought my nice little banging boomin' stereo, my little boom box, right? With the disc player. This is what it had, a disc player, a tape player, and the radio. And so on my local radio station one summer, they were doing what they called the Motown weekend. And so all weekend long, that's all they played was Motown song after Motown song. And the way I was able to do that is I put my blank tapes. I told you the only way you could dub a disc or record off of the radio is you had to put it onto a tape player. So I had my tapes in there and that whole weekend long, I was just recording so much of that Motown material. And so then that whole system, it had a little alarm clock function on it. So I would put my tape in, I'd put it to the song that I wanted to wake up to, set it for the time to go. And then every morning, that was how I would wake up. My little system would start to play me on my little Motown song. And that's how I would wake up every morning, was to music like that. It was beautiful. That's a beautiful way versus the beep, beep, you know, oh my gosh. So that's how I used to wake up. But once I had that stereo system, then very shortly after I got that disc, and this happened. I remember this. This is the reason why I was thinking about wanting to tell you guys about these stories that I used to write. Because, okay, I had I Want You. Now, that album had been a record on the shelves in the living room, and I did listen to it from the records a lot. But, oh my God, that album... it discusses a lot of sex, right? And there's one song that basically is sex. And so I would put that record on the weekends. Like I didn't quite get it. I don't know why I didn't quite get it, but I did. I was studying Marvin. I was studying, you know, the instrumentation. I was studying Marvin's vocal delivery. You know, it's been all elements of Marvin. I wasn't so much focused on the actual just sex sounds that were happening for a good little portion of Feel All My Love Inside on I Want You. But so I would play the album because I love the whole entire album. I really don't ever prefer that song. But so every weekend, our ritual in our house is that the whole family, we would clean the whole house together. So everybody would be moving around the house and we would always do that to music. Well, like I said, I got to this place where I pretty much was DJing what we were listening to in the house, and it was always Marvin Gaye. So I would put on I Want You, and we would all be going around the house. But we would always get to that song, and I would just kind of feel like, this song has a lot of, this is sex, right? Like, maybe, it took me a little while to get to kind of just really understanding that particular song is probably not what I need to just have pumping through the house for us to all be getting our work done. But once I finally got it on disc, so then it was just able to be my more personal experience than the family's experience like that. Inside of the disc, and I don't have my discs in the house now. They are more appropriately out in the car where they belong. But, you know, the liner note. So you pull out the little booklet on the inside. And I know in that specific disc at that time, there was just like a full page picture of Marvin. And I sat there. I was holding that book. I had read through the book. I had the, but then I had the music playing and I had my COS headphones and I was sitting on the edge of my bed. It was plugged into my little system. I was sitting there on the edge of my bed. I was looking at that picture of Marvin, and I, this is how I started to see and view the story of this music. I got lost. It was like in a trance. I just was staring at Marvin until I wasn't seeing Marvin anymore. I was seeing this story that his album tells. So that's what these 40 pages of paper are right here, are the stories that I have been given of Marvin's music. And so why not? Let's go there. I'm going to have fun sharing that with you. So that will be an episode coming up. Perhaps. We're going to see. I'm, like I said, I'm going to record it, and then it's going to be a little bit of a sense of pride, like how bad it is if I share it with you. Okay. But aside from these stories, the next album that we're going into is I Want You. All right, guys, take care. I love you. Bye.
Well, friends, that's it for this episode. Did we have fun? I had fun. Subscribe to our show so you never miss the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. And we're excited to announce that you can follow us on Pinterest at our page, pinterest.com/MarvinGaye_enduring_gifts. There, you can see our gorgeous picture boards for each podcast episode, among many others. These boards are full of images of Marvin capturing key moments from each episode. We're making this a listening and viewing experience for you. So until next time, thank you for listening.